All right. So thankful for every person who could be here this weekend and this evening. And before we open God's Word this last time, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for all that You have done for us and for all the things that You've shown to us. I do ask now that as we turn to Your Word tonight, You would bless me. Bless me with knowledge and wisdom and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Father, fill all the people here with Your love and with Your Spirit and with the knowledge of Christ. Help us to walk with You tonight and to learn from what is coming next. Amen. All right, I have chosen myself one of the hardest and easiest subjects that exists. There's lots of those kind of subjects. Super, super, super simple. And yet, sometimes those simplest things are the most complicated to actually communicate to a human heart. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't teach you tonight, this is going to be a wasted meeting because I'm just a human. I want to try to answer the question tonight, does God love you? It's very interesting. A very, very misunderstood subject. In fact, there is a ton of teaching by both professional and unprofessional teachers on this subject, and almost everybody gets it wrong. Almost everybody gets it wrong. We have thousands of churches in our country tonight that do not know the gospel. They do not preach the gospel. On the one side, we have many, many, many people who are teaching that somehow or another, we can be good enough to get to heaven. And we must be good to get there, they say. Now, the fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us that we must be good. So that part's right. But it never, ever, ever, ever tells us that we may be good enough to get to heaven. If we might be good enough to get to heaven, Jesus wasted His life here on earth when He came to die. And then there's the other side of the people. Their gospel is, God is too loving to send me to hell for this sin. God loves me too much to send me to hell because I'm doing this. Well, actually, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that God is love. And because God is love, He loves everybody. But I want to tell you the honest truth. God's love never prevented Him one time from sending a person to hell. God's love sent His Son to die on the cross. And Jesus' death on the cross has prevented millions of people from going to hell because He took their place. But God's love never kept anybody out of hell. God will send every sinner on earth to hell unless they put their trust in His Son who died in their place. That is the scriptural truth. Here's a little article. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but this is put on the internet by Christianity Today. You know, Christianity Today isn't Christian, just so you know. Christianity Today, if it has to be today, it can't be Christian, because Christianity started many thousands of years ago and it hasn't changed. If you have to have a name of Christianity Today, you're already wrong. Your very name is wrong. But this article put on the internet by Christianity Today is titled, Does God Really Love Me? And somebody asked this question. I wish I could say I believe in Jesus and that He loves me, but I no longer believe that. I've been through a lot of tragedy in my family, and now I find myself wondering if God even exists. If God loves me, why doesn't He show it? And there's a number of paragraphs here with whoever writes this article trying to answer this question. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to tell you that not one time in the entire article does the author tell the person that God loves them and that's why He sent Jesus to die for them. Not one time does he ever mention that. But here is the author's response of what you should do if you're feeling this way. He says, God has a plan for you. So even in the middle of all your heartbreak, tell God, I'm going to hold on and wait for you to show me your kindness, your love, no matter what happens. Now I'm going to tell you, if the person who asked this question waits for God to do this, that person's going to hell. Because God did that 2,000 years ago. And it was a sacrifice that was once for all. And you either accept that sacrifice or you reject God. If you are going to wait for God to say something to you, to prove that He loves you, you are going to hell before you hear God's voice. Because He said what He had to say. And He said it 2,000 years ago. And He's not repeating that statement again. Because His Son is only going to die once. That was God's message to the whole world. And that is what He recorded in the Scripture as His token of love to the human race. He gave the only thing that was eternal that He had. The only thing that existed there in heaven, His own Son, He gave that for humans as a testimony of His love to save them from hell. It is the gospel. It is the only gospel. Any other kind of nonsense is of the devil. That being said, should we turn to the Bible? I want to look at Genesis chapter 3. We'll read most of the chapter. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I have heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. That's as far as we need to read. This chapter is the beginning of the story of redemption. It is where we have the first picture of sin. And immediately, when we have the first picture of sin, we have the first picture of redemption. God has been pouring out His love on man since the very moment that he first sinned. The word that God had spoken to Adam was, in the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. That's what God had told Adam. If you eat of this tree in that day, you're going to die. Now, there's a lot of confusion on what God was actually saying. And some people get very, very spiritual and say, well, God says a day is with the Lord like 1,000 years. And no man in the history here ever lived past 1,000 years. And they say, when God said in the day you eat it, He meant that you would not live past 1,000 years and you would experience death. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. What did God mean when He said, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die? Well, other people say that what God meant is you would die spiritually. When you ate of that tree, your soul would experience death. It would experience a separation from God. You would lose what God had given you on creation. Now that one I'm going to tell you sounds a lot more reasonable, but I, for some reason, have a hard time buying that one too. You know what? I think God really meant it when He said, in the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. You know why He didn't die? Because God redeemed him. He didn't die that day because God came and He killed a sheep in His place, picturing the sacrifice of Christ that was to come. He was redeemed that day because he had sinned. He was there at that meeting with God. God was talking to him about his sin. He was caught. He couldn't hide. He tried to hide. He couldn't. He tried to hide double. First he got in some clothes. And all the people who draw the Bible story books always make him only half dressed. That's why he still felt naked. You know, Adam could have been in clothes 10 feet thick at that moment when God came into the garden and he would have felt naked. The funny thing of it was, I see a whole bunch of people here and we're all descendants of Adam. That tells me that Adam continued to stay naked with his wife after this. Which means that he was not embarrassed to be naked with his wife. Well, they were the only two people in the garden. So who was he clothing himself to hide from? He wasn't clothing his naked body. He was clothing himself because he had sinned and he felt wrong. He was spiritually naked. He had lost something. He wasn't worried about his body. He tried to hide. And I think his clothes probably were equal to any Amish dress you've ever seen in your life. I think they covered him from head to toe. And God came in the garden, he tried to hide again. His clothes weren't working, he got behind the trees. And God came and he had his conversation with Adam. And there was two things that happened during this conversation. And these two things are my subject tonight. One, the earth got cursed. And two, God showed his love. And they happened all in the matter of this little hour of conversation. Every single time that somebody says, God doesn't love me, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about the troubles they're experiencing in a cursed earth. And the cursed earth has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not God loves you. We say, God doesn't love me because this happened. Well, why did this happen? Because man is sinners and God cursed the earth because of it. Why did God curse the earth? Did God curse the earth because he didn't love Adam? Well, let's look at it. Did God love Adam? You know, as a matter of fact, everything that you can see and all of the things that you can't see, below the soil, it goes thousands of miles deep. And above the stars that you can see with your eyes, it goes for miles that we don't even know how to express. God created that whole thing in 7 days. 6 days, sorry. 6 days, God created the whole thing. Adam was the only thing that we have recorded that God created that he took more than one step to do. Everything that God made, he said, let this happen, and it was. Let this happen, and it was. Let this happen, and it was. Then when he came to create Adam, he did two things. First, he made man. Then he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was that thing that God did to Adam that separated him from the rest of the entire creation. Because God gave to Adam something of himself. Now, how long did it, if God created the entire earth in 6 days, using his word to create anything he wanted, except for Adam, it was a two-step process. It was a word and a breath. Just how hard would it have been for God to have just killed Adam right there, buried him in the ground, and started over with a new man? How hard would that have been? For somebody as strong and as powerful as God, that would have been easier than brushing your teeth. It would have been so simple and so easy, and there was one reason and one reason only that God didn't do that. Because guess what? Killing Adam and starting afresh would have not only saved God all that problem of dealing with Adam, but it also would have saved God 6,000 years of sinful human history, where he has broken his heart over and over and over and over and over again, taking care of his people. It would have saved him all of that. But there was one thing that God would have lost. Adam. That's all. He would have lost Adam. And he wasn't willing. That is how God loves every human being that's walking on this earth. There's not a human being that's walking on this earth that God doesn't have that degree of love for that he showed to Adam that day. And so this is what he did. First he cursed the earth. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the woman. He gave her pain that she wouldn't have otherwise ever felt. He cursed the ground. He made it bring forth things that were unpleasant, and he gave us an earth filled with problems. He did that because he loved Adam. We don't understand everything that God knows, but one thing that we know for certain is that God knew what he was doing and he did what was good. But then, God got himself a hold of one of his little innocent creatures that was standing around there in the garden watching the conversation. The Bible doesn't say what it was. We're just going to guess tonight it was a lamb or sheep, something. That's what we see Abel offering next. So we're going to imagine that that's what God taught them to offer that day. A lamb. He reached over and he got a hold of one of these innocent little bystanders that was walking around. This little lamb had never done anything wrong in his life. He had never thought a wrong thing. He'd never done anything mean. He had never pushed a brother or a sister. He had never, the thought of sin had never entered his head. And as a picture of Jesus Christ, God killed something of his own creation who was innocent. And there in front of Adam, while Adam and Eve are standing, they'd never seen death before. They're standing there watching this poor lamb whose blood is pouring out onto the ground and God is skinning it. He's making them a robe, something that we get from Jesus Christ. I think I have no doubt that Adam asked God, why he chose to do that. Why are you hurting this lamb who didn't do anything wrong? I'm the guilty person here. God only had one thing. There was only one reason. Because he loved Adam. And because God loved Adam, he sacrificed something else. Of course, now, we say it was a sheep. It was an animal. But it wasn't. It was his son. Because that day, the only way that God forgave Adam was because he knew 4,000 years down the road, he was sending his son. And he was going to do this very same thing to his son. The sheep was just a picture. And now, we have people living in this cursed earth, and their mom dies. Their husband gets sick. They get in a car accident and they go through pain. They get a disease and they suffer. The hail comes and destroys their field. A fire burns their house down. And the first thing that they have to say is, God doesn't love me. But you know, what God said that he proved to the world that he did love them has never changed. The earth around us is changing. It brings us pain and trouble. But God's love does not change. And our circumstances in life have nothing to do with whether or not God does or does not love us. Nothing to do with it. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, we don't have to read, I could ask any one of you to quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to stop and think about that sacrifice that God made. And just exactly what happened. You can shut your eyes right now to the entire world. You're the only person that's sitting here, so far as you know. You don't know that you have a mother or a father, or brothers or sisters or friends, neighbors. You're the only person here. The rest of the world is good and innocent in your mind right now. But you're a sinner. And you are. Every single one of you, you are a sinner. You've done lots of bad things. And when you did bad things, and you felt guilty about it, you turned and cursed God. Now God hadn't done anything, God hadn't done you any wrong, but in your heart, you were mad at God because He made you feel bad about the bad things you had done. Every person here has done that. And God said to His Son, that person, that one person, Don, you're my front row man. You know God loves you? Don, I'm going to forgive you, but the only way that I can forgive you is if somebody else takes your place and pays for your sin. I'm willing to give my son. That's what He said. And then Jesus, He was one with the Father. He agreed. And He came. But you know, if you go to Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has come to earth. He's humbled Himself. He gave up His place in heaven as the Son of God. And He became like one of those little creatures He had made Himself. He's walked on the earth for just over 30 some years. He's been mistreated. He's been poor. He's been hungry. He's suffered. And He's come to the night before the only reason He came to earth for. He's going to die tomorrow. In Matthew chapter 26, we'll begin reading in verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto His disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me." And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." And He cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What, could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done." And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And you know what God said when Jesus prayed? Told His Son no. He was only working for sinners, just wicked sinners. He had His everlasting Son. His Son asked Him, crying His heart out 3 times, if He could not go to the cross. And God told His Son no, He had to go. And that's why we can read in the Scriptures, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's how God loved you. Now, if that wicked woman who's writing an article to Christianity Today waits to hear the voice of God, waits until God does something nice for her so she feels God's love again, she's never going to know it, because God already said what He had to say about it. He already said He loved her. And if she didn't believe Him, she made Him a liar. And you know what? The fact that God loved that girl isn't keeping her out of hell. Unless she comes to Jesus Christ and puts her faith in Him as her only hope of heaven, she's going to hell. And she can sit back in her little house and she can have her little attitude about God and say He doesn't love her because something's going wrong in her life. She's going to go to hell. The Bible says, if He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? You know, if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus died on the cross, you wouldn't have rain, and you wouldn't have the sun, and you wouldn't have food to eat. As God doesn't put up with sin, God, the Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's the reason He hasn't destroyed the earth. And the only hope that He has for healing any human being on earth of their sin was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's it. If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't ever feel like God loved you. You wouldn't be here. It was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. God wasn't waiting for His people to do something good so He could send a shower on their field. He wasn't waiting for them to do something nice for their friend so He could do something nice in return. Your good acts would send you to hell in God's holy book. But He looked down when you were sinners and He took the only thing that He had that could solve the problem, and He gave Him up. And He did that for Don. He did that for Adam when there was just Adam and Eve on the earth. And if it had been just Don, He would have done the same thing. He would have given His Son. You know, when God in the Scriptures wants to give us a description of what love is, one of the most powerful descriptions of love in the world is found in the Song of Solomon. In the 8th chapter, verse 6 says, "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned." This God's word here we're reading from. This is what God says love feels like. And you saw it happen. When you read the story of the cross, you saw it happen. God wasn't sitting up in heaven saying, "Got a little problem to deal with. There's some people down there on earth that have acted like fools. I'm going to do my duty and I'm going to send my Son down there." God was sitting up in heaven, if I can explain it by earthly terms, which are no good, but I don't know how else to say it. He was sitting up there in heaven with His heart pumping, as hard as you've ever felt your heart beat, his emotions churning, his feelings. If God is infinite, his feelings must be infinite. Looking down at those human beings that had forsaken him and didn't listen to him and spent their life in sin, saying, I love these people. I care about these people. I want these people. And so he sent his son. We have the testimony of the Bible that God loves you. It's the only thing that we know about God. The only thing that we know about God besides the little bit that we can glean from creation. The only thing that we know about God is through this book, the Bible. And he says in this book that he so loved the world that he gave his son. That's his testimony. Now, if we are going to reject God's Word, we are rejecting everything that there is to know about God, because this is our source of information, about God. And so if we're going to reject the fact that He loves us because He sent His Son, we may as well also reject the fact that there even is a God, or that there is such a thing as love. We may as well reject everything at that point, because we have nothing left to go by. But if we are going to say that we believe in God, then we're going to have to accept the testimony as to be the reason we believe in God. This is our source of information about God. And that forces us to accept the testimony that God gave that He loved the world. That is how we know that God loves us. And tonight, I hope it doesn't happen, but nothing is certain on this earth. Tonight, when you get home, you could have the worst disaster that has happened in years to anybody you've ever known happen in your life. And it will not change how God loves you one iota. It will not change at all the fact that God loves you. It is through the testimony of the Word of God that we accept the understanding of the fact that God loves us. And it is the same testimony of the Word of God that tells us what we should do about the fact that God loves us. And you know, most of the human race has chosen to find God's love in other sources and reject the Bible totally. We decide that God loves us because He helped us get money. I used to tow, and I was hauling a car one day, and I had this big Indian guy riding in the passenger seat with me. I was towing his car, and he was talking to me about God. He said he had a name for God that he had made. His name for God was Get Your Money Do. Get Your Money Do. He had been working on the high school up in Lac de Flambeau, I think. And he said he made $122,000 in 1 year working on that school. And he loved God. He loved God a lot. But he sure hated the God of the Bible. He loved the God that gave him money. But there was no God that gave him money. God provided him an earth to live on, providing him with rain and sun and food and clothes and everything that he needed because he loved him. And he provided those things to him through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. But that man's going to hell because he didn't believe in Jesus. So we reject the testimony of the Bible as to why God loves us. And then we go find some other reason to believe God loves us. But you know what? The other reasons we get aren't very stable. They come and they go. Sometimes God loves us and sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes we're well and sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we're rich and sometimes we're poor. And then we go on this lifelong, I'm happy with God, I'm not happy with God, because today He loves me. If He loves me, I'll love Him. Next day He isn't going to love me, and I ain't going to love Him if He don't love me. Now remember, the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. Unless we stick with the testimony that God gave of His love to the world, then we're never going to love God. Because it's the only testimony that stays the same. It's been the same for 2,000 years. It's never going to change. You know, I want to tell you something that very few people on this earth believe, including most Christians. Since that conversation that God had with Adam in the Garden of Eden that day that he sinned, there has never been one human being that has walked the face of the earth, no man, no half man, no woman, no child. There has never been one human being alive on the face of this earth that God didn't love and offer the gift of salvation to. That is a Bible truth. There's never been one. And you look at the horrible things that have happened around you. You look at the horrible situations and the things, the unutterable things that have happened to human beings on this earth. God loved every single one of those people, and to every single one of those people, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in their place so that they might have life. Most of them rejected it. Most of them looked at the offer that God made them and rejected it. And God still loved them. But you know one thing that the love of God will never do? It will never ever get God to accept sin. Because the Bible says that God is love, but the Bible also says that God is light. And those two things work together to create the image of who God is. And though He loves man enough to send His Son to die in their place, unless you have been pardoned by Christ Jesus' work on the cross, it doesn't matter how little your sin is, you're going to hell. God has never pardoned a person because He loved them. He's pardoned a person because Jesus died in their place. That's your only hope. You're going to get this one right, or you're not going to be a Christian. You're going to take God's testimony for His love for you, and you're going to love Him in return and offer Him your service and your obedience and whatever else He asks for, or you're not a Christian. This Bible is the only source of eternal life. It's the only knowledge that we have of God. It's the only knowledge that we have of God's love. And He showed it to us in a way that no human being can deny, except if you have a problem with God's laws. You know what I think? I can't look like God can into the hearts of every human being and dissect things like He can. But I think that I could probably restate most of the questions that ever come. When people say, does God love me? I think what they really mean to say is, I don't love God. That's what's really coming out of their mouth. If God loved me, why did He do this to me? No, excuse me, what you really meant to say is, I don't love God because He did that to me. That's what you're really saying. God told you He loved you. And if you reject His testimony to the fact that He loved you, you have rejected the dearest thing that He ever did for you. You've made Him a liar. You've rejected His word. You've rejected His Son. You're in trouble. If you ask the question, does God love me? You're in trouble. You have no business asking that question as a human being after what God did for you. If you ask that question, you need to get down on your knees right now and repent. You have something to make right with God that you blamed Him like that. God loved you. He proved it. He said it. And He wrote it in the testimony that doesn't change. I would like to close with prayer. Father, please tonight take these precious words of Your book and let our sinful hearts soften underneath them. I pray that You would open our minds and our hearts to receive what You have said. Help us to understand Your gift, to understand the sacrifice that it was. I do pray, Father, that You would help us to order our lives as a response to the love that was shown to us. Father, I ask for Jesus' sake, who is willing to come and die, that if there's any person sitting in this room tonight who isn't saved, that they would repent. And find mercy tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.